Make sure you're subscribed to Issues Etc. Type Issues Etc. in your podcast provider, hit that subscription button, and leave us a 5-star review. This will make it easier for other podcast listeners to find Issues Etc.
This week on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, we'll continue our study of St. Matthew from exile back home, the Savior's birth, wise men from the East, worship of the King, and flight into Egypt. Join me, Pastor Will Wheaton, for The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, your daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study on demand at thewordendures.org and on the Lutheran Public Radio app.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. There are hymns that come along every once in a while, maybe every 100 years, that really make a mark. It's not so much that they are popular, it's that they do what they do so very, very well. And the hymn that we're going to be studying in the next hour or so with Pastor Will Wheaton is one of those hymns. It's not an old hymn. It's actually, relatively speaking, just a baby hymn, but already at its first singing some 70 years ago almost, it was one of those that was going to make its mark. It's called Thy Strong Word. Joining us to study the hymn Thy Strong Word, Pastor Will Wheaton, assistant pastor at St. Paul Lutheran Church in Hamel, Illinois. He formerly served as director of worship for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. He's author of the books Celebrating the Saints, Thank, Praise, Serve, and Obey, and See My Savior's Hands. And he hosts a daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study produced by Lutheran Public Radio called The Word of the Lord Endures Forever. Will, welcome back.
Hey, thank you, Todd. Joy to be with you today.
This is a hymn that for Lutherans often evokes very strong memories, as many hymns do. But what's your memory of Thy Strong Word?
Well, you know, it came on my radar screen first as I was just becoming a Christian, a Lutheran Christian. And at that time, our parish, Lutheran Church of St. Andrew in Silver Spring, Maryland, had the Lutheran hymnal in the pew, but they also had this little blue flimsy book called Worship Supplement. And there were lots of really cool new hymns in Worship Supplement. And we were, you know, singing through many of them. And the first time I heard this, I was like, whoa, I love that piece. And then I was like, okay, I asked for a copy of the Worship Supplement to take home and try to work on it. It didn't have all the music. It just had the melody line. But the melody line, I mean, it's an F minor. So it's a bear, okay, to play. At least it is for me. And I remember working on it as a kid, trying to get this thing down so that I could actually play the melody. Soon I figured out how to put some harmony with it to make it go. It just became one of my all-time favorite pieces. And I think I've shared many times before that a definition of poetry that I like is words that are put together in a way that they're hard to forget. I think this meets that definition exactly. Almost from the first time I heard it, it was like, I can't forget these words. These are just stunningly put together, and they sink in deep. Well, little did I know when I was first learning the hymn what it would finally come to mean to me on the day of our call, when they issued first calls at Concordia Seminary. And I remember we sang this as the entrance processional hymn. We're marching in, singing it. But when you come to the second to the last stanza, give us lips to sing thy glory, only those getting the calls that night, the pastors to be, soon to be, were allowed to sing. And so they sing that stanza. And think about that. You're getting ready to go out and preach the gospel, and you pray, give us lips to sing thy glory, tongues thy mercy to proclaim, throats that shout the hope that fills us, mouths to speak thy holy name. Yes, that is exactly the perfect prayer. That memory of that night and walking in and singing that, and particularly also the pain of several of my brothers who did not have their calls yet. And so they, you know, it was like, there was their call night too. I'm calling out to you, John Fleischman. I remember your pain that night. It was very sorry to see so many of them so eager to ready and go and yet not have a call prepared. But God still opened their mouths, and they did get calls, and they went out proclaiming his glory too.
What do we know of the composer and of the occasion for the composition of this particular hymn?
Well, I mean, let's deal with the text first, mm-hmm. right? So the text, it's written by the great poet and scholar, and for the most of his life, layman, Martin Franzmann. Now, he did teach at Concordia Seminary, but he didn't get ordained till very late in life. He wrote it while he was on the faculty of Concordia Seminary. He was an exegetical prof and had great insight into the New Testament in particular. His little introduction to the New Testament, I guess we should call it, The Word of the Lord Grows, is a great, great, great resource. And he was given a task. You see, Concordia Seminary, like most schools, has a motto, and its motto is Anothen Taphos, that is, light from above. And that's usually referenced to St. Matthew's citation of Isaiah 60 in his fourth chapter, or Isaiah 9. The people dwelling in darkness have seen a great light, and for those dwelling in the region and shadow of death, on them a light has dawned. Franzmann was given the task, it's like, go make a hymn out of this. And that was in 1954. At the time, Buzin, the Missouri Synod's leading liturgiologist back in the day, he wanted something that would celebrate the work and the mission of the seminary that could be used the following year at commencement. And we even know that Buzin gave Franzmann the tune he was to use, because Buzin's daughter remembers vividly the day that it happened. Her father was working, and somehow or other, he came across this tune called Ebenezer, and he got all excited and dashed out the door and across the street and put it into Franzmann's hands and said, do something with this. He did something indeed. And so a version with our stanzas 1, 2, 3, and 5 was first sung at a chapel service at Concordia Seminary in October of 1954. Do you realize how rare it is when we're doing these hymns to actually have this kind of precise information? But it was such a momentous event that it hit people right away. This hymn, this is something. And so they made sure that the information about it was entered into the archives of Concordia Historical Institute. They knew it was going to actually, it would be a famous and important text, and certainly a brilliant match with a tune. So instead of Buzin waiting till the next year for commencement, he's like, oh, no, we're going to trot this thing out. But you know, what kind of things go through a liturgiologist's mind? I know normal people don't think like this, but you know, was Buzin, you know, this is a wonderful hymn. And he realized as he works his way through it, he's like, that's actually not going to cover the entirety of the action that I envision. If you picture a long procession with all these people coming in, it has to be longer. So he goes back to Franzmann and says, can we make it longer? And by the way, I want to get the cross explicit in it. And so Franzmann then, he added stanza 4, and he flip-flopped over the years as to where that stanza actually would go in the hymn. And then he also wrote in a big grand doxology at the end. So it went from 4 stanzas to 6 stanzas, which I think is really an interesting observation. A friend of mine, Pastor Mark Brown, has, you know, he likes the hymn, but he's told me it's way too long. He's like, you know, the people are exhausted by the time this thing is done. And I think it's just ironic to know that, well, Franzmann actually only wrote 4 stanzas, and it's rather perfect for that. But if you're doing a procession, you need more than 4 stanzas. And so we have the longer form. What's also beautiful about that very last stanza of the doxology is Robin Lever, the great hymnologist, he says it's probably the greatest doxology written in the 20th century.
I was just going to say the same thing. I'm glad I'm walking in the same footsteps as Robin Lever.
Yeah, amazing. It is a stunning doxology. And the whole hymn itself, I think, is theology in some of its finest. How do I put this? There are times that sometimes in poetry, or in hymnody, I should say, you can be so poetic that the hymn suffers because it becomes opaque. You know, I mean, it's just a little too obscure. And there are other times where the hymn can be so plain, boringly didactic that there's just not a lot of poetry to move it along. I think this one hits both areas perfectly. It teaches, and it teaches very well, but at the same time, it's also fine, high poetry.
What do you want to say about Ebenezer, the actual tune here? I don't think anyone can associate it with anything other than...
Oh, actually, it does have some other associations, but for other Christians. But the tune, briefly, it was composed by Thomas J. Williams. He died in 1944, and it was named after Ebenezer Chapel in Rhos, which is a village in Wales. And he was an insurance salesman, but he also got to serve as an organist and choir master at Zion Baptist Church in Llanelli in Wales. The Welsh, you know, they are a singing people, and they've given us any number of great and sturdy hymn tunes. I mean, probably the most overused tune in Christendom, Hyfrydol, is Welsh, right? You know, and people just absolutely love it. You can't sing it too much. Pairing this one with Fransman's text is, I think, its greatest use, but I did want to note that some Christians sing this same tune to Oh, the Deep, Deep Love of Jesus, which also works very, very well with Ebenezer.
Pastor Will Wheadon is our guest. We'll talk about the primary biblical text behind Thy Strong Word next.
This week on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, we'll continue our study of St. Matthew from exile back home, the Savior's birth, wise men from the East, worship of the King, and flight into Egypt. Join me, Pastor Will Wheadon, for The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, your daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study on demand at thewordendures.org and on the Lutheran Public Radio app.
The COVID-19 pandemic has caused many Christians to ask about whether or not the government should be telling the church when and how to gather around our Lord's gifts. In the June-July issue of the Lutheran Witness, the Reverend Christopher Thoma takes up this question in his article titled, Executive Orders, Divine Command. To read this excellent article and more about the church's life in the midst of a pandemic, subscribe to the Lutheran Witness today at cph.org/witness. The Lutheran Witness, interpreting the contemporary world from a Lutheran perspective. cph.org/witness.
Timeless truth that prepares scholars to serve their neighbor in all of life through their various vocations. This is what scholars receive at Wittenberg Academy. If you are looking for a solidly Lutheran online education for your child, consider Wittenberg Academy, where doctrine is sound, academics are rigorous, and relationships are genuine. We offer full-time, part-time, and diploma track options to meet your child's Lutheran education needs. We partner with brick-and-mortar schools and homeschools. You can find out more at wittenbergacademy.org.
Relevant worship isn't about trying to look and act like the rest of the world, to appeal to the culture around us. But relevant worship is about Christ. Hope Lutheran Church of Birmingham brings you truly relevant worship, where sinners gather to hear God's word and receive His gifts of forgiveness and peace. Visit us online at hopebham.org. That's hopebham.org. Or give us a call at 205-956-1930. We'll see you Sunday.
The radio voice of the Lutheran faith for the 21st century. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Not only does our church need men right now, but the world needs men who will proclaim the gospel in its purity.
Issues, Etc. regular guest, Dr. Peter Scare, Associate Professor of New Testament at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
If when you go to sleep at night, you're thinking about it, my experience with it is that thought won't go away. So if you're going to bed at night thinking about following our Lord and becoming a preacher of this gospel, then I would love if you could come and visit Fort Wayne, our campus. We'd love to show you around and show you what it is that we do.
Have you ever considered becoming a pastor? Contact Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana at 1-800-481-2155, 800-481-2155, or visit ctsfw.edu. Christ-centered, cross-focused, Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're studying the hymn Thy Strong Word. Pastor Will Whedon, host of the daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study produced by Lutheran Public Radio called The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, is our guest. Well, there are a lot of texts in this hymn, but what is the primary biblical text behind Thy Strong Word?
Well, you know, I gave you the reference for where he actually pulled it from, and that is from Matthew 4. The people walking in darkness or dwelling in darkness have seen a great light, and those dwelling in the region of the shadow of death, on them a light is dawned. And the emphasis of that light then in that particular usage is the light of the gospel, the light that is Jesus Christ, yes, but the light of the good news that he sends into the world. We're going to see as we work through the hymn, Fransman plays with all the meanings of light. You know, if I can put it this way, the uncreated light that is the Father also, the light that becomes incarnate in the Son and shines forth in his life, and the light that the Holy Spirit brings into our lives when he enlightens us with his grace through the gospel message, which goes out as a message of light in the darkness of this world.
We should also mention, since you brought that up, this is a Trinitarian hymn.
Mm-hmm.
Its structure is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, maybe not in that order, but most certainly a Trinitarian hymn.
Yeah, it is. And we'll see as we work our way through it that the doxology is anything but just something stuck on at the end. It's very much of a piece of the whole.
Let's hear the first stanza of Thy Strong Word. Thy strong word did cleave the darkness. At thy speaking it was done. For created light we thank thee while thine ordered seasons run. Alleluia, alleluia. Praise to thee who light doth send. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia without end. The Lutheran Public Radio Choir with the first stanza of the hymn, Thy Strong Word. What are your thoughts here?
Well, Fransman begins where the story of Scripture begins, in primordial darkness. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth was formless and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God hovered over the face of the waters. But then God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light that it was good, and he called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day, or more actually in Hebrew, day one, the only instance of the ordinal rather than the cardinal numbers listed in the days of creation. Fransman does not capitalize word here, and so his focus is upon the speaking of God, which results in things happening. You know, you remember Luther's great term for this, tat wort. I love that, you know, a deed word, a word that does something by being spoken. He says, and bam, what he says happens. My usual example from years ago was how I don't have tat worts. When I say to my son, take out the trash, you know, I could find the trash sitting in the kitchen a few hours later and him still sitting on the computer, and he would wave his hand and say in a little while until I finally would blow my cool and he would finally get up and move it. But, you know, I don't have tat worts. But, you know, when God speaks, things are different. What he speaks, he causes to be by saying. The Hebrew of that verse has about it, you know, God says, light be, and light was. I mean, it's very beautiful that way. I mean, we sort of make it gentler in the English with the let there be, you know, just like, he looks at it and says, be, and there it is. So why does he use the word created light here? Because he knows very well there is uncreated light. You say it all the time when you confess the Nicene Creed, right? God of God, light of light. There is a light that is not created. And Paul would remind us that God dwells in unapproachable light in 1 Timothy 6, verse 16. But beginning where Scripture begins, Fransman invites us to marvel at nature's light. Because without it, Todd, there wouldn't be any life at all. Remember how the Bible tells the creation story in such a way that light is more basic than the vessel that gives it out. I mean, he doesn't even say the sun, the moon, the stars, right? There's the big lamp, there's the little lamp, and then there's the sprinkled lamps, you know, the stars. And the Hebrew term for them implies they're more luminaries than originators of light. They're holders of light, if you will. And so cleaves or separates the darkness. The hymn gives first thanks for this created natural light from the fourth day onward, which adorns our ordered seasons. Let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and for years. And ordered seasons also rings in the Lord's words after the flood, right? While the earth remains, seed time, harvest, cold, heat, summer, winter, day, night shall not cease. So through the whole duration of this world's time, we are summoned to give thanks for the gift of light, which makes life as we know it possible. I don't know if you ever think about it, but Todd, you're always eating sunlight. I mean, plants turn sunlight into energy, and animals eat them, and we either eat the plants or we eat the animals who ate the plants. But either way, you're eating sunshine. You're eating the light that God first called into existence on that first day of creation.
We have such an exclusively scientific understanding of these things today that we often forget, even we Christians, about that uncreated light, and that the light that we enjoy from the sun and the stars and our artificial sources, whatever they may be, is but a shadow of the true light.
Yeah.
This is created light. This will pass away. This is not the thing everyone tells us is eternal. The light that has no beginning and no end, not only in which God dwells, but doesn't one of the scriptural writers say God is light and in him there is no darkness?
And there is no darkness. Sure, we'll definitely look at those too as we go along. St. John and first epistle. But we also want to stress in that the ancient fathers would see this uncreated light is actually what's shining in Christ on Tabor. The disciples saw, this is the light that blows Paul off his horse.
Brighter than the sun.
Brighter. I mean, think about it. I was just listening to that this morning, and he's arriving at noon. Think about it. Noon in the Middle East, and all of a sudden, there's a bright light that's so bright he can't see. You're like, whoa. So there's a light that's far infinitely brighter than the sun at noon in the Middle East in Damascus. How amazing is that?
Would you say something about the Alleluias? Because they're going to be a feature. It's a refrain that modifies itself a couple times in this.
Yeah, it's almost, I mean, those first four stanzas, it's almost the same, and then it changes in the last two. So the Alleluia is the church's expression of joy and delight and marvel at what God has done. It participates in her delight. It is how she this will sound really bad, but understand what I mean. The Alleluia is how the church squeals for joy in the presence and sight of God's action and doing.
We're studying the hymn, Thy Strong Word. Pastor Will Whedon is our guest, assistant pastor at St. Paul Lutheran Church in Hamel, Illinois, formerly served as director of worship for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. He has authored the book, Celebrating the Saints, Thank, Praise, Serve, and Obey, and See My Savior's Hands, and hosts the 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study produced by Lutheran Public Radio called The Word of the Lord Endures Forever. When we come back, stanza two. Lo on those who dwelt in darkness, dark as night and deep as death, broke the light of thy salvation, breathe thine own life-breathing breath. Alleluia, alleluia, praise to thee who light doth send. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia without end.
An umbilical cord of biblical truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
St. Paul's Lutheran Church in Wildwood, Missouri is a proud sponsor of Issues Etc. And if you enjoy the relevant, Christ-centered teachings presented on this program, then you should come and join us at St. Paul's on Sundays at 9 a.m., where you will hear sermons that proclaim Jesus Christ and Him crucified for our sins, and enjoy in-depth Bible studies to help us grow as disciples. For more information, check us out at stpaullutheranwildwood.org.
Hey, Todd, what have our listeners noticed first when visiting the LPR studios?
Definitely the small size and the dirt.
Well, not anymore, thanks to our friends at the Cleaning Authority. They've turned this man cave into a space that meets even our wives' approval.
Whether it's our office or your home, the Cleaning Authority is your cleaning service provider in the St. Louis area.
To schedule a free estimate or to find out more, visit thecleaningauthority.com. Thecleaningauthority.com.
That's stanza two of Thy Strong Word. We're studying this hymn with Pastor Will Whedon. Will, that second stanza is that Isaiah passage we talked about before, isn't it?
Yeah, and it's citation by Matthew, which I think for Bronsman, the location in Matthew is actually sort of the key to getting why he uses this imagery. So let me see if I can get right there. Now, when he heard that John had been arrested, he withdrew to Galilee. And leaving Nazareth, he went and lived in Capernaum by the sea in the territory of Zebulun and Naphtali, so that what was spoken by the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled. The land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, the way of the sea beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people dwelling in darkness have seen a great light. And for those dwelling in the region and shadow of death, on them a light has dawned. And from that time, Jesus began to preach, saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." On a sort of deja vu from previously hearing from John the Baptist. That's this exact same message. So Jesus comes as a light into the darkness. Remember, he calls himself the light of the world in John 9. And St. John will say of him, in him was life, and that life was the light of men, the light that lighteneth every man coming into the world. And Todd, death has put us all in deep darkness, both the spiritual death, that is sin, the rotten fruit of our sin, our physical demise. I never forget that when my dad lay dying, he just was adamant, don't turn off the light. He didn't care, leave it on night and day. He wanted light. He did not want that to enter into that darkness. This world lives as the valley of the shadow of death, and death just does tower over us. And so God promises through Isaiah that his light's going to shine into this deep, sad darkness of us. And Matthew 4 cites Isaiah 9 about that great light that would dawn in Galilee of the Gentiles. But, you know, you can't help also think of Isaiah 60, that picture of a people scattered and isolated and frightened and alone, all separated in the darkness, until the sun, the glory of the Lord, begins to rise upon them. And then you see the people, what were they doing? They began streaming together, coming together to the light, gathering together to it. They see it break into the darkness and they head for it. It reminds me so much of a child's story my mom used to read me about two little kids, a boy and a girl, who wandered far into the woods. They weren't paying attention. They were having a good time playing when the darkness fell and it grew too dark. You remember, especially in the wintertime, how fast the darkness can fall. And they didn't know where they were, how to get home. And all around them, there were scary sounds in the woods as the nighttime creatures started to come out. And they were quite lost, all until their mom opened the door of their cottage and the light streamed into the forest. And suddenly they knew the way home again. And so they head off to it. I think Isaiah 60 is very much that picture. And that's how Zechariah celebrated with joy the dawning of the light that was in Mary's holy womb. He said, "In the tender mercy of our God, the dawn, the light from on high shall break upon us to give light to those who sit in darkness and the shadow of death and to guide our feet into the way of peace." The light is the light of salvation, because that's what his name means. Yahweh saves, Jesus, and he comes breathing, breathing his own life, breathing breath. Images there of Genesis 2 and the creation of man and how man became a living creature. Images of Jesus on Easter evening doing the same thing, breathing on his own, sending them out as his witnesses. He breathes into them the Spirit. And the Spirit does his enlightening job. He brings the light from above right into their hearts, the light of faith that shines from the Word of God.
There's a lot made in Scripture of the breath of life. It takes us to Genesis at the creation.
Mm-hmm.
It takes us to, again, Noah, where there's a prohibition in taking human life and other creatures that have the breath of life in them. And then those two passages that you had mentioned there, that this is more than just, there's something more here than just breathing in and breathing out.
Mm-hmm.
That life itself is somehow, even in fallen man, connected to God's life.
And we don't want to lose this idea that in the Bible, you're dead not when your heart stops. I mean, they didn't even have that concept. To them, you're dead when you no longer breathe. Right? To become a living being is to be alive. And then when you die, you literally expire. You know, you breathe out. He breathed his last becomes the normal Bible way of putting someone has died, no longer taking life from the creation into themselves. And so God's setting man up as breathing. Well, one other passage I didn't throw in there, but we should throw in there for the same image, is from Ezekiel, right? The valley of dry bones, right? He reconstitutes human nature, but it's not until he prophesies to the breath, the wind, the spirit, and of course in Hebrew and in Greek, they all run together. You can't sort them out. And they come, the spirit enters them, then they stand on their feet, a living army.
Stanza 3, thy strong word bespeaks us righteous, bright with thine own holiness. Glorious now we press toward glory, and our lives our hopes confess. Alleluia, alleluia, praise to thee who light doth send. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia without end. This stanza begins with thy strong word bespeaks us righteous, parallel to thy strong word did cleave the darkness. You had made the point, Will, that in the first stanza he did not capitalize the word, but you almost have to capitalize it here.
Yeah, yeah.
Because yeah. This is the word.
Yeah, this is the word strong work on our behalf. And, you know, I don't even... Is it capitalized in your version there? It's capitalized. No. When I wrote it out, I capitalized it without thinking about it.
It's not capitalized in this version, but interesting. It should be.
I felt like that's got to be a capital word there. Okay, so sometimes you get this. Lutherans love to make distinctions. Well, sometimes say, well, you know, if it's proclamation, it can't be prayer. And if it's prayer, it can't be proclamation. Those are two different things. And I always point to this hymn stanza and go, here's some of the best proclamation of the gospel you are ever going to hear. And it is in a prayer addressed to God. And it is a beautiful prayer. Thy strong word, that, and I agree, the person of our Lord Jesus Christ, he bespeaks us righteous. He can do that because he is God himself. The word that he speaks accomplishes what he says. And his bespeaking us righteous makes us be bright with his own holiness. So how does God make you righteous? He speaks you righteous. His word does what it says. So if faith is what clings to the righteousness of Christ, faith comes from hearing, hearing from the word of Christ, you immediately see the import of this. God's word makes what it says so. And Todd, that is why I think the apology to the Augsburg Confession was right on, not to have this needless fight over is justification declared righteous or made righteous? Because when God declares something, then it is so. It makes it so. If God says it, it is so. Not that it may appear so to the eyes of men, even to our own eyes, but it is so. Look, when Jesus says of the bread and wine in the Eucharist, this is my body, this is my blood, your eyes may say, doesn't look like much more than a sorry excuse for bread and some wine, and your taste buds may agree. But faith knows, no, he doesn't lie. His word is performative. And so right now you are righteous, bright, in fact, with God's own holiness. And you, who once were alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, he has now reconciled in his body of flesh by his death, in order to present you holy and blameless and above reproach. You, holy and blameless and above reproach, if indeed you continue in the faith, stable, steadfast, not shifting from the hope of the gospel, Colossians 1, and glorious now. Can that be said, given our sorry struggle that goes on against the old man, the flesh, and continues right up to the grave? Yes, it must be said. For what we must learn to do is to think of ourselves the way God declares us to be and not what we see ourselves to be. It was in this sense Paul would write in 2 Corinthians 3 and 4, and we all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed, not will be, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. This all comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. For God who said, let light shine out of darkness, has shown into our heart to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. And then when we believe what he has said about us and we actually act on that and trust that, our lives will confess our hope, which is to say, when you live toward the realization of the future promise, your very mode of living becomes a confession. So St. Peter could tell his hearers, hey, always be ready to give an account for the hope that's inside of you. When you know the ending of the story, you actually go through rather placidly the darkest and most frightening chapters, and the people who are going through them with you wonder, why are you so weird? Aren't you worried? What is going on? And you're like, oh, no, I'm sorry. I happen to know the end of the story. I'd be happy to share it with you. That's the strange hope we have. That's ours.
We'll talk more about those words, our lives, our hopes, confess, with Pastor Will Wheaton as we study the hymn, Thy Strong Word. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc.
We Lutherans were never aided by following along with some other tradition's theological priorities and catchphrases.
Issues Etc. regular guest, Pastor Heath Curtis, Coordinator for Stewardship for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod on a Lutheran approach to stewardship.
Other folks are not approaching it from our good, solid Lutheran understanding of law and gospel and vocation. There's a place to talk about this in Christianity, and we have a way of talking about stewardship as Lutherans without ever using the word stewardship, if you like. I'm going to talk to you today about your vocation in your home, in your church, in your society, and how each one of these makes a claim on you, on your presence, on your support, on your prayers. That's how we should talk about this as Lutherans.
You'll find several stewardship resources at lcms.org/stewardship, lcms.org/stewardship.
Confessional Lutherans, we've got your back. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Lord, help us ever to retain the catechism's doctrine plain.
What makes a church unique? Perhaps we should ask, what makes a church faithful? Calvary Lutheran Church of Elgin, Illinois, continually learns Christ's doctrine, simply explained in the Small Catechism. This doctrine teaches us Christ crucified, who even today comes and serves his baptized children in word and sacrament to forgive, strengthen, and teach us for daily life. This, Christ's own work among us, makes and keeps Calvary Lutheran Church faithful. Visit us at clce.org.
Your church's chrismons are from the 80s. They're made of styrofoam, their glitter is shedding, and they're held together with toothpicks. Now is the perfect time to replace them with AdCruisman's Christmas in July sale. Participating artists have discounted their products, so stock up on jewelry, crucifixes, art, church banners, music, greeting cards, and more. Discounts range from 10 to 50% off. Visit us at adcruisman.com to take advantage of the sale. That's adcruisman.com.
Every knee will bow then, every tongue will confess the things you already say and sing here in his congregation.
Morning Chapel from Cramer Chapel. Live weekday mornings at 8:30 Central, 9:30 Eastern, 7:30 Mountain, and 6:30 Pacific at issuesetc.org.
And peace will be as it is even this day upon you, the Israel of God. Amen.
Organist Service, aptly abbreviated SOS, really has come to our rescue.
Pastor Jim Hollowatch of Christ Lutheran Church in Jackson, Mississippi.
With the ever-growing shortage of skilled musicians in our community, we were approaching a real crisis. But thanks to the Substitute Organist Service, help is always just minutes away. With its easy, intuitive interface, friendly customer service, and outstanding musicianship, you really couldn't ask for more.
You can find out more about the Substitute Organist Service at churchmusicsolutions.com.
St. Thomas Choir of Men and Boys with the hymn Come Down, O Love Divine, playing right now on Lutheran Public Radio, our 24/7 sacred music station. You can listen to the best of the church's music for the past 2,000 years anytime, anywhere at lutheranpublicradio.org, the LPR mobile app, and on TuneIn. Lutheran Public Radio, sacred music for the world. We're studying the hymn, Thy Strong Word, with Pastor Will Whedon. Will, you were talking before the break about those words, our lives, our hopes, confess. I wanted you to go into a little more detail. Is the entire life of the Christian, everything the Christian says and does, a confession?
Yeah, I mean, this is what St. Paul is getting at when he would write to the Ephesians, that we might be to the praise of his glory, that our lives and the way that we live them here in this world might confess. Now, they might be a poor confession, they might be a strong confession, but they are a confession. What you believe shows up in how you live. If you believe something, it impacts how you live in this world. No two ways about it.
We don't see this holiness. He picks up on that reflected holiness, bright with thine own holiness, and that's not apparent for us
to see as much. It can be seen through God's word and by faith, but we don't feel that holy,
right?
And we don't always look that holy. What are your thoughts?
It comes back 100% to learning to see with your ears. Instead of going by your experience and what you can observe, we need to learn to go by the truth of what God declares, because he does not lie. He cannot deceive. If he says it's so, it's so. Faultless, without blame, before him. That's how Paul describes Christ presenting us to the Father.
Stanza 4, from the cross thy wisdom shining breaketh forth in conquering might. From the cross forever beameth all thy bright redeeming light. Alleluia, alleluia, praise to thee who light doth send. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia without end. Just in terms of the composition, I got to give credit there, I believe, to cantor Kevin Hildebrand, mm-hmm. who arranged that for our choir, that he got a little doxology in there. He couldn't keep that trumpet out of this particular stanza, so that in anticipation of the doxology at the end. Remind us again why this stanza was later added.
Bazin wanted the cross explicitly put into the hymn. And as Franzmann meditated on a way to do that, he came up with this beautiful way, which I think is fascinating in two respects. First, it evokes, do you remember Constantine's vision in Hoc Sic Novinces? He saw this cross in the sky and it was like, oh, okay, so if we go the route of Christianity, God promises me that we'll whoop their rears and we're going to win. And of course, you know, the church looking at it said, yeah, you kind of didn't get that right. But yeah, that is true. In this sign, you will conquer. In the sign of the cross, you will conquer. And in addition to that, the ancient hymns that associate with the cross, we have them in our book, Sing My Tongue, The Glorious Battle, and The Royal Banners Forward Go. They all have this image of the cross as the sign of victory, running through them, and this is so ironic, right? The sign of a man hanging up, beaten, and then left to die on this piece of wood becomes the sign of all victory, of conquering love, conquering might breaks forth from the cross. But it takes God's wisdom to reveal that. But it's only going to be from the cross that his bright redeeming light will be in forth. Dr. Luther will even say, the cross is our only theology. It's the only theology we have, the wisdom of the cross. And in that, it's playing off of 1 Corinthians 1 and 2. Remember that whole section? We've dealt with it in the past and different shows, I think, that when you look at that section, you need to remember that Paul had been before that in Athens. And in Athens, he had tried the let's connect with them on their level type of approach, right? Where he would quote their poets at them to help. He was going to use rhetoric, whatever. He's like, that didn't work so well. He comes to Corinth and he's like, forget it. I was determined when I got there, I was not going to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. That's what I preached. He is the secret wisdom of God. He is the wisdom decreed before the ages for our glory, but God reveals by his Spirit through the gospel, through the folly of what we preach, the bright redeeming light of God's infinite love in Christ, which reaches all the way down to the depths of the human heart in all of its darkness. No one is going to figure this out on their own. It literally comes from the preaching of Christ crucified, which then is not merely something preached to get you to be a Christian. It is what has to be preached to keep one a Christian, to continually fill the heart with light and joy and open your mouth to alleluias and praise.
I think also about that opening vision of the book of Revelation where the Apostle John sees again the unveiled glory of Christ, this time by way of vision.
Slays him.
And all the things that Jesus says about himself focus upon the fact that he was dead and now is alive and he holds the keys of death and hell.
From the cross. Conquering. Yeah. The conqueror from the cross. I mean, trampling down death by death is the way that the ancient Epicurean says it.
I want you to speak just briefly about that word from the cross, thy wisdom. You mentioned it before, thy wisdom shineth. That seems an interesting way to describe the saving message of the gospel.
Yeah, I mean, Franzmann came up with that very particularly because of the image from 1 Corinthians, that it would be regarded by the world. It is regarded by the world. They're like, how can you Christians possibly go on still existing, jawing on about something that happened 2,000 years ago? And the church knows, hey, we only go on going on because we never stop jawing about this amazing thing that happened 2,000 years ago, which we would never have dreamed up in our wildest dreams. And it comes down to this. Any God that a human being would draw up would never have done salvation the cross way. It makes no sense. You know, it's like we would have had some sort of a victory. He would triumph by overwhelming us with his light, with his love, whatever, you know, but he overwhelms us with his love by death, by embracing our death, by being in the place where we are at our darkest and most alone. We find him there. He brings the light of his love into that moment. That is something that is wisdom shining, and that's how he wipes out sins, that he will do it by taking on flesh and blood to suffer and die. And that's how he will clothe us in his holiness and prepare for us a kingdom that has no end. It's unbelievable.
I think it's a rather strong argument for the truth of the Christian faith, that how could such a faith survive that has focused upon what to the world's eyes looks like defeat? And only by the eyes of faith can someone perceive it not only to be victory, but to be the best thing that ever happened in all of the universe.
And to adopt it as the pattern for your life in him. Oh, there's where it gets real. I mean, he never speaks of his cross without mentioning, go and take up yours and follow me. That I'm going to use the same method with you that was done with me through suffering, through death, into life.
When we come back with Pastor Will Wheaton, the fifth stanza of thy strong word, give us lips to sing thy glory, tongues thy mercy to proclaim, throats that shout the hope that fills us, mouths to speak thy holy name. Alleluia, alleluia. May the light which thou dost send fill our songs with alleluias, alleluias without end. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're studying the hymn Thy Strong Word with Pastor Will Wheaton of The Word of the Lord Endures Forever. What is God calling you to do? What is the one thing you were born to do? Are you truly doing what you're called to do? The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for July is Callings for Life, God's Plan, Your Purpose. It's published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040, or learn more about Callings for Life at issuesetc.org. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for July, Callings for Life, God's Plan, Your Purpose.
Since 1978, Lutheran Church Extension Fund has had the humble privilege of supporting Lutheran Church Missouri Synod Ministries and her workers. Thanks to faithful investors, LCEF has provided thousands of church workers, congregations, schools, and organizations with the low-cost loans and resources they need to reach more people with the saving name of Christ. To learn more, visit lcef.org or call 800-843-5233, 800-843-5233.
Do you know any military veterans in your church or community? Do you have a passion to support and reach them with the gospel of Jesus Christ? Then Operation Barnabas is for you. Called by Christ's love, Operation Barnabas engages, empowers, and equips LCMS faith communities to provide hope, healing, and support to military-connected persons living in their community. Operation Barnabas is a program of LCMS Ministry to the Armed Forces. Find out more at lcms.org/armedforces.
This is Dr. Russell Dawn, president of Concordia University Chicago, with a message for parents, grandparents, and godparents of college-bound children. Concordia Chicago is a distinctive, comprehensive university of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. We're devoted to our Lutheran confession and committed to strong academics. Please encourage your child, grandchild, or godchild to check out Concordia University Chicago at cuchicago.edu.
The cross is always relevant. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by becoming an Issues Etc. congregational sponsor. Bethel Lutheran, Ballinger, Texas. Epiphany Lutheran, Door, Michigan. Grace Lutheran, Naples, Florida. Emmanuel Lutheran, Holloway, Minnesota. Mount Calvary Lutheran, Lititz, Pennsylvania. Peace Lutheran, Fresno, California. Reformation Lutheran, Hillsboro, Oregon. St. John Lutheran, Springfield, Pennsylvania. St. Paul Lutheran, Wildwood, Missouri. And Trinity Lutheran, Wichita, Kansas. Find out how your confessional Lutheran church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to issuesetc.org, click Support, Donate, and print the one-page flyer. When your congregation becomes an Issues Etc. sponsor, we'll publicize your church on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. Stanza 5 of Thy Strong Word. We're studying this hymn with Pastor Will Wheaton, host of the daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study, produced by Lutheran Public Radio, called The Word of the Lord Endures Forever. Pastor Wheaton is currently leading a study on the Gospel of Matthew. Be sure to listen, rate, and subscribe on your favorite podcast provider, The Word of the Lord Endures Forever with Pastor Will Wheaton. Well, this fifth stanza appears to almost abandon the light theme of this hymn, but then at the very end, that light is to fill our songs.
Light coming out of mouths. It is a stunning image, and note the change in that. It does sneak in there at the end, but the Alleluia changes. Then Alleluia, Alleluia. May the light which Thou dost send fill our songs with Alleluias, Alleluias without end. As I said at the beginning, we can never think of this without thinking of call night at the seminary, marching in to get that first call and singing these words, begging God to open our lips so that our mouths may declare the praises of the one who called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. So understand this, folks. Sermons are to sing his glory. They proclaim his mercy. They shout aloud the hope that fills us. They proclaim the holy and saving name of Jesus, whose gospel is sent to release us from the sadness of the darkness of this age and lift us up into these endless alleluias. Now, the hymn just sweeps towards adoration, and that's no accident. I have to confess that in recent years when I've attended the seminary, I was grieved that on call night they didn't do this hymn of Franzmann, at least the times that I've been there in recent years. And I thought, oh, it's just the perfect prayer for all would-be pastors to be praying together, singing together, and asking God. And when Martin Franzmann writes your institution a hymn like this, you don't ignore it. And my two cents.
It is, as you said, for us, this memory of being sent to proclaim the word of Christ. Talk about that in the mouths of everyday Christians, too.
Yeah, yeah, because this is not mere. I mean, it fits really well to do that with the seminarians. But as Peter would say, he wants us, he has made us to be this kingdom of priests to proclaim the praises of the one who called us out of darkness to his marvelous light. That is every last one of us, the entire priesthood of the baptized, are given lips, tongues, throats, and mouths to do this praise, to proclaim the praises, the excellencies of the one who called us out of the darkness and into the light. So every single Christian gets to get in on this. And the chief way that Christians get to get in on it is by joining in the church's song. They sing it, and together they proclaim with one voice the praises of Christ. It's been the saddest, most awful thing about this COVID time has been the dearth of the hymns to Christ among the people of God. And it's just never happened in the history of the world that the people of Christ stopped singing to Christ. And so it's beautiful to see, at least in some places, it's coming back. And even if we're separated in our homes, people loved by God, I sure hope you open your mouths and sing together the hymns to give praise to the one who sends the light to you.
You're certainly correct to say that these praises are directed to Christ, but they are also a proclamation to the world.
Mm-hmm.
If we sat on Sunday morning and thought, why am I singing this hymn? Because, well, we got to have a first hymn, we have to have a middle hymn, we have to have a last hymn, distribution hymns. Why am I singing? You are witnessing to the world. The world may not be paying attention, but we are singing in this world of darkness this song of light.
You are singing to God in the presence of the holy angels. You are singing in the presence of the demons who hear it and run. You are singing in the presence of the world itself. Yes, the entire creation eager to hear the praises of the light through which all things came to be, the light that has no end.
The final stanza, God the Father, light creator, to thee laud and honor be. To thee, light of light begotten, praise be sung eternally. Holy Spirit, light revealer, glory, glory be to thee. Mortals, angels, now and ever, praise the Holy Trinity.
God the Father, light creator, to thee, Lord, and honor be. To
So why do you think that the great music scholar, Bach scholar, Robin Lever said that this was the best doxology written in the 20th century?
Well, I think because of the ingenious way that it weaves all of the themes of light together and invites to praise. I will have to say, before we go further, what you just heard and what's in the current hymnal is, I think, a corruption of what Martin Franzmann wrote, because to stick mortals in there, mortals, angels, Mortal means one who's dying. And I'm sorry, the whole point of this thing was that he's delivered you from death. It should read, men and angels, now and ever, ever praise the holy. Mortals don't do things ever. So, I mean, it's just become, it's one of these silly sensitivities to modern ears. I'm sorry, it's written in a time when men meant that, and men still does mean that. It means everybody. And so men and angels, human beings and angels, now and ever, praise the Holy Trinity. Just dump the word mortal. So I think it's so great, as I said, because the theme of light is woven throughout it. So notice, first of all, the Father is described as the light creator. That's a great name for the Father. You recognize, hey, that's the first thing he made, right? Hey, when he started creating, he said, let there be, and there was. So seeing the gift of created light, we give him laud and honor and praise. But then we recognize, that light, that was a pale imitation of this light, the light of light begotten. God himself is light. And there comes out light from him, the light of the eternal Son. So praise be sung to him eternally. But then there's more, because the light that is in Jesus Christ is spoken into the world, and the Holy Spirit opens men's hearts and minds, enlightens them so that they might really see what God has given them in the Son. And so by the Son be presented to the Father. And all of it leads then to the glory, glory be to the theater. How many times in the Russian services you'll hear Slava, Slava, you know, this glory, glory, glory. It's you just cry it out to God. It is the mark of doxology. Glory, glory be to thee. And then that the men and the angels, both of the foremost visible creature and the foremost invisible creature, they join together in what is their destiny, what God actually created them for, to join in the praise of the Holy Trinity. We form a single choir together, praising him. And that's life.
I keep coming back throughout this entire hymn to 2 Corinthians 4, the God who said, let light shine out of darkness. This hymn is really that verse in a lot of ways.
Mm-hmm. It informs, certainly. I think he had that in the back of his mind. Remember, he was a New Testament prof, so he basically had the New Testament memorized. So that verse, I think, does illumine much of the piece itself. It holds it together. And it gave him the way to then speak about the cross and, you know, to tie it all together.
Pastor Will Wheaton is our guest. We're studying the hymn, Thy Strong Word. We'll hear the entire hymn and get his final thoughts next.
This week on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, we'll continue our study of St. Matthew from exile back home. The Savior's birth, wise men from the East, worship of the King, and flight into Egypt. Join me, Pastor Will Wheaton, for The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, your daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study on demand at thewordendures.org and on the Lutheran Public Radio app.
Our life together as the Church after COVID-19 will bring new challenges. For example, we might be tempted to skip the regular gathering of God's people because we're more comfortable streaming it on Facebook instead. May it not be. Join the Reverend Dr. Mark Wood as he explores this theme in his article for the June-July issue of the Lutheran Witness titled, Gathering Again, It Will Not Be the Same. Subscribe at cph.org/witness, The Lutheran Witness, interpreting the contemporary world from a Lutheran perspective. cph.org/witness.
The Simply Classical curriculum for special needs moves at my child's pace and gives her exactly what she needs. So writes Amber, a homeschooling mother who has joined thousands in homes and schools teaching from this uniquely Christian classical approach to special education. Teach students with autism, learning disabilities, or Down syndrome based on ability level rather than chronological age. Use promo code LPR20 today at classicalspecialneeds.com. Classicalspecialneeds.com.
An oasis in the desert of pop American Christianity, you're listening to Issues Etc.
The Holy Trinity addresses three important things for the reader.
Dr. Carl Beckwith talking about his book in the Confessional Lutheran Dogmatics series, The Holy Trinity.
It explains the difficulties we face in confessing the Trinity in our world today. It shows how Scripture carefully and decisively presents the Trinity, and it rehearses the sound pattern of words used by the Church to clarify and defend the witness of Scripture.
Learn more about the Holy Trinity at lutheracademy.com, lutheracademy.com.
Bahama Mama, Ocean Pacific, Paradise Island. Retreat from the heat with a shaved ice snow cone from Tropical Snow in Caseyville, Illinois. It's right across the street from Collinsville High School. Tropical Snow is open weekdays from 1 to 9 and weekends from noon to 9. Premium snow, epic flavors, lots of love. Tropical Snow, across the street from Collinsville High School at 2134 South Morrison Avenue in Caseyville.
Did you know that Luther Academy has been providing continuing education for confessional Lutheran pastors and laypeople worldwide for more than 20 years? Luther Academy publishes Logia, the Confessional Lutheran Dogmatics series, and Luther Digest. Find out more about Luther Academy and sign up to receive their free email newsletter at lutheracademy.com, lutheracademy.com, and like them on Facebook, facebook.com/Luther Academy.
By his victorious life, Jesus Christ has won full forgiveness for all our sins, for the many ways that we fail him in our earthly vocations. He has pronounced us perfect, declared us righteous before God because of all he accomplished for our salvation. That's from the Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for July. It goes nicely with the hymn that we're studying, Thy Strong Word. This book is called Callings for Life, God's Plan, Your Purpose. You'll find it at our website, issuesetc.org, or call Concordia Publishing House any weekday during regular business hours and ask for the Book of the Month for July, Callings for Life, God's Plan, Your Purpose, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. We're studying this hymn, Thy Strong Word. Our guest is Pastor Will Wheaton, host of the daily verse-by-verse Bible study, The Word of the Lord Endures Forever. Here's the Lutheran Public Radio Choir with the entire hymn, Thy Strong Word.
Thank you.
That's the hymn, Thy Strong Word. Pastor Whedon, your final thoughts here.
The world thinks words are cheap. Words are easy. They don't count for much. God has a word that is strong. It's strong to deliver exactly what it says. It's the word that actually creates faith inside of us. It's the word that sustains faith inside of us. And it is the word that when it comes to fulfillment on the last day, we will see we have been indeed released from death, from sin, brought into the kingdom. It was a word that was strong, mighty to save. A strong word indeed, a glorious word.
Pastor Will Whedon is assistant pastor at St. Paul Lutheran Church in Hamel, Illinois, formerly served as director of worship for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. He's author of the books Celebrating the Saints, Thank, Praise, Serve, and Obey, and See My Savior's Hands. He hosts the daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study produced by Lutheran Public Radio called The Word of the Lord Endures Forever. Will, thanks.
Thank you so much, Todd.
Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we'll discuss these groups, the Anabaptists, the Zwingfeldians, the New Arians, and the Anti-Trinitarians. What did these groups at the time of the late Reformation believe and teach, and how did the Reformers respond to them in the Solid Declaration of the Formula of Concord? It'll be our Lutheran Confession series with Pastor Paul McCain. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois offers ACT, SAT, and PSAT test prep, scholarship application classes, college and career counseling, and more. Hi, this is Lori Konski, president of College Preparation Station. We have helped our students obtain more than $7 million in tuition scholarships in 12 years. Find out more at cpsprep.com. Let us help you create a vision and find your future. The College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois, cpsprep.com.
What makes Christ Our Savior Lutheran Church in Freeburg, Illinois so special? Our new members talk about the family atmosphere, the welcoming people, and the outstanding music. But most importantly, you'll be confronted with your sin and comforted with the assurance that Jesus has removed that sin so that you can live each day as His baptized and forgiven child. Christ Our Savior Lutheran Church is at 612 North State Street in Freeburg, Illinois. Sunday worship is at 9 a.m. Sunday school and Bible classes at 10:20 a.m. Call 618-539-5664.
Do you long for a church where the gospel of the sinner's free justification is front and center, and yet where a robust sacramental life is confessed and lived? Do you long for a church that rejoices in the sacred scriptures as the sole basis for the church's teaching and proclamation, yet values and listens to the witness of the ancient fathers and councils? Welcome to the Lutheran Church. We are what you've been looking for. Find a Christ-centered, cross-focused church near you on the Find the Church page at issuesetc.org.
Hey, Todd, what have our listeners noticed first when visiting the LPR studios?
Definitely the small size and the dirt.
Well, not anymore. Thanks to our friends at the Cleaning Authority, they've turned this man cave into a space that meets even our wives' approval.
Whether it's our office or your home, the Cleaning Authority is your cleaning service provider in the St. Louis area.
To schedule a free estimate or to find out more, visit thecleaningauthority.com. Thecleaningauthority.com.
Do you dread going to work out? Performance Fitness in Edwardsville offers a fun, supportive, tight-knit community and environment. Visit them on the web at performancefitness618.com or call 618-692-5063. Performance Fitness is the facility in the St. Louis Metro East where the focus is on member results, not membership numbers. 618-692-5063 or performancefitness618.com. Performance Fitness of Edwardsville.
Lutheran Talk.
We have an ecumenical responsibility to hold forth the scriptures and to bear witness to grace alone, faith alone, Christ alone.
Lutheran Music.
Listen anytime, anywhere in 2020 with the Lutheran Public Radio mobile app. Download for iPhone, Android, and Kindle at issuesetc.org.
For your next family vacation, consider Our Beach House, a charming three-bedroom vacation rental on beautiful Siesta Key. Just off Sarasota, Florida, Siesta Key Beach, consistently voted America's best, is just 100 steps away. Whether you're watching the sunset over the Gulf of Mexico or frolicking in the warm surf, you and your family will fall in love with Siesta Key. Check us out at SiestaKeyRentalGenie.com or call Virginia at 941-266-1858.